Well, good morning. It's good to see y'all in the sanctuary here, and those of us that are online. We're going to start out by standing up and singing, if you can, and singing Stand Up for Jesus on page 730. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. To the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Amen. All right, now we're going to sing Sunshine in My Soul. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, a dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, praise for blessings which he gives me now, for joys in future days. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, our next song is going to be He Hideth My Soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, all for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Want to do the last one? One more? When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the desert. covers me there with his hand. Amen. All right, our last song this morning is going to be Glory to His Name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad that I entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
All right. Well, amen. Amen. Thank you for the great singing today. We do have some birthdays for you.
All right.
So let's see here. Today is Bicky Coon's birthday. All right. Way to go, Miss Bicky. Miss Bicky, how old might you be? 84. All right. Way to go. All right, outstanding. Then we got some October the 5th birthdays. Ariana Boyd, Nancy Holman, Marjorie Briers on the 7th. Marjorie, all right, yeah, good job. Lillian Lee is on the 7th, that's right. Hers is coming up. Julie Rich, James Trevathan on the 9th. All right, Brother James.
Hey, Brother James.
How old are you going to be, buddy? 64. So you got him by 20. You got it by 20, Miss Bicky. And then Zach and Marco's class on the 9th. All right, Zach and Marco's class on the 9th. So let's sing a rousing. Marco's class be next door in the Christian school. So Let's sing a rousing happy birthday to him, shall we?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, we did say we were going to start Children's Church back today, so I think we have a couple of guys wanting to go to Children's Church. Y'all ready? Back there in the back? Oh, man, it's big time now. Big time now. They have been waiting so patiently during the services that we've not had Children's Church. They've been very, 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 very cooperative, have they not? They've been really good. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my soul. How do you keep those masks on? It ain't easy, is it? Do you finally get your senses back about halfway through the sermon? You start to wake back up? Hopefully you're awake more than that as we go through the service. If you have a copy of God's Word, take it and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Matthew chapter 6. And as we get going here this morning in Matthew chapter 6, depending on where you are in your spiritual journey, okay? If you are, let's say, maybe not growing the way you should be growing in the Word and in the Lord, you may come away from this going, you know, the preacher did not, he didn't scratch the itch. He didn't meet the need. You know, I was coming here looking for a word, and you know, I was tuning in on the live stream, and it just didn't quite. I get that. I'm going to try to preach short today for those of you that are in that boat. For those of you that are growing in the Lord, you're seeking to be discipled. You're wanting the Holy Spirit to take over and lead you in your life. Then this may be a blessing for you today. This may be some things that you've never heard, and man, this may be your bailiwick this morning, and you may come away from this and be ready to get with it for the Lord and get that word from the Lord. Okay, so kind of two extremes. So, you know, if you fall asleep on me today and the flies are buzzing around, you know, making a dive bomb into your mouth because the drool's coming down, that's okay. I love you in the Lord, right? But some of you may be on the edge of your seat, you know, taking notes and wanting everything you can get. So just realize we got two groups, some listening, some here, that may be going on, right? Just pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ that we can all get on the same page and grow in the Lord. Amen? All right, the Word of God reads in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. It says, whenever you fast, see there it is right there, verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. That's that Greek word apeko. That's what they put on the bottom of a receipt when they'd hand you a receipt. When you paid for services or goods, you'd get a receipt. That's all they're getting. They're getting apeko. They've been paid in full. Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret, notice what it says, will reward you. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the salvation that we have. Lord, we're thankful that we can praise you today in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we're so thankful that we can get in the Word of God this morning. And we can try to break out a message, Lord. We can get past the sermon and get into the message. And Father God, we pray that this would be a message that would strengthen your church. Those that are watching online, Lord, we pray that it would strengthen them. And Lord, I look forward to testimonies, perhaps maybe not next Sunday, but testimonies next month, testimonies 6 months from now, testimonies a year from now about how people employed the truth of God's Word in their own personal private lives and how they went to their prayer closets with prayer and fasting and how you came through for them in a huge and big way. Thank you that you answer prayers. Thank you that you're still about doing miracles. And Lord, we are so thankful that you still save lost people. Lord, as we think about the beginning of this message and this service and our time of worship, we do lift up our president, Lord. We pray for him. We pray for those in his administration and his leadership group that have come down with the COVID. As far as our president, Lord, with the COVID, we pray for his quick healing. We pray that, Lord, you'd protect his health, him and his wife. And, Lord, all those that have come down with the COVID, Lord, we pray that you would get them over this. And, Lord, we just pray your perfect will for this country, less than 30 days out as we enter into a time of political elections in this country. Lord, may your perfect will be done. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Well, when we look at this and we continue on here in the Sermon on the Mount, I don't know about you, but when I study this, I find that Jesus
Jesus has some things in common with many unchurched people. You say, well, how could Jesus? Remember, Jesus hung out with sinners, right? Jesus has something in common with some unchurched people. Neither he, Jesus, nor they, unchurched people, care very much for hypocrisy in the church. You ever invited somebody to church and said, why would I want to go to that place of hypocrites? You got nothing but hypocrites in that church. And my response always is, we've got room for one more. Amen? So come on, right? Come on in with them. But while many people are surprised to find, and certainly lost people and unchurched people, while many people are surprised to find hypocrisy in the church, when we study the life of Christ and what he said and did, that fact did not appear to surprise our Savior at all. He knew that because of our fallen sinful nature, because of Adam, because of that first sin. Hypocrisy, friend, abides in the heart of all of us, even in the hearts of his followers. In fact, our Lord so anticipated the hypocrisy that he devoted a pretty big section of his Sermon on the Mount to the subject. He really did. Jesus warns us of hypocrisy in three main areas of our spiritual life. Please don't touch that, Brother John. I'm a little warm. You're going to turn that one on. Okay, amen, brother. Jesus warns us of hypocrisy in three main areas of our spiritual life. Here they are, all of which touch on the three main relationships that we can have. First, he warns us of hypocrisy with respect to our dealings with other people, particularly when we perform charitable acts. That was verses 2 through 4 in Matthew chapter 6. You can mark that down and go back and read that if you weren't here for that message. Second, Jesus warns us of hypocrisy with respect to our dealings with God himself, particularly when we pray our prayers. Now, we just came out of that big section, verses 5 through 15, in our study on the model prayer. And now, as we come up to this passage, we see that he warns us of hypocrisy with respect to the third main relationship. That is the relationship towards our own selves when we perform acts of personal discipline and self-denial. Now, what I want you to see about all these relationships, these three main relationships, in each case, the perversion of God's standard was caused by the overriding desire to be seen and praised by men. Matthew chapter 6, 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Making sense? Hope so. When we think about fasting, when it comes, because the message is simply this, fasting 101. I mean, we're trying to get the basics today, trying to get some basics. When it comes to the study of fasting, through the centuries, we find that many ancient pagans believed that demons, the demonic, could enter the body through, guess what, through food, right? And so when these pagans felt that they were under demonic attack, what would they do? They would fast to prevent more evil spirits from gaining access to their bodies. The converts of most Eastern religions, oh, there's a bunch of them. I can name some of them. Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism. That's just touching the nail head there. The converts of most Eastern religions and a lot of different cults have always been committed to fasting, often for long periods of times in which they claim mystical visions and insights are received. Now, in our own modern culture, different types of fasts and fasting have become popular for purely physical and cosmetic reasons. And fasting is recommended in some diet programs. There's the 5-2 fast. Have you heard about the 5-2 fast? You eat what you want to eat 5 days out of the week. 2 days a week, if you're a woman, you don't eat more than 500 calories those 2 days. That ain't very much, is it? That may be the sugar in my coffee in the morning, amen, 500 calories. 500 calories for a woman, 600 for a man. You don't take in any more than 600 calories those 2 days. You've heard of the juice fast, right? And you've heard of perhaps the beet fast, right? All you're going to eat is beets. That doesn't sound very fun, right? And there's this fast and that fast, all for some kind of physical benefit or, you know, some kind of a cosmetic thing. But the Bible, the Word of God, records no teaching or practice of fasting for practical reasons. Listen to me. Legitimate fasting always had a spiritual purpose and is never presented as having any value in and of itself. I mean, we really get into it and start studying the Old Testament and taking it all the way through the New Testament. A review of the Bible reveals that many Old Testament believers fasted. There's Moses, he fasted. Samson fasted. Samuel fasted. Hannah fasted. David, Elijah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and Daniel, and many others in the Old Testament fasted. And when we get to the New Testament, we find the fasting of Anna. John the Baptist, his disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, we see the fasting of Jesus, the fasting of Paul, and numerous others. When we review the Protestant Reformation, when we even go back further and look at our early Christian history, our early church fathers, we see that many of these early church fathers fasted. Then when we come up through the Protestant Reformation, we see that Luther fasted and Calvin fasted and later on Wesley fasted, Whitefield, many other outstanding Christian leaders have fasted. But listen to me today. The only fast commanded in Scripture is the one connected with the Day of Atonement. That's the only one commanded in Scripture. On that day, the people were, in the Word of God it says this, the people were to humble their souls. Per Leviticus 16:29, Leviticus 16:29 and Leviticus 23:37. Almost got tongue-tied on that. Try saying that five times fast. Leviticus 23:37, right? Woo! Now, this humbling of one's soul was a Hebrew figure of speech. It was a Hebraic expression that, this is what it included. It included fasting from food as an act of self-denial. Now, let me explain it to you. Coming up to this Day of Atonement, it was a national fast involving every man, involving every woman and child in Israel. But this fast occurred only one time a year as a preparation of the people in observing their Day of Atonement ceremonies. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if we as a Christian people on November the 2nd had a little fasting? And I know what you're saying. You're saying, Pastor, I'm diabetic. If I fast, I'll be in the ER in 4 hours. I'll be in the ER in 12 hours. I won't make the ER if I fast. You don't know how diabetic I am. If I don't eat, man, I'm down. Well, I'll tell you what, you could fast from that cell phone, couldn't you? You could fast from that social media, could you not? Yeah? Could you shut that Instagram and Facebook off for a day? Right? Well, since we're talking about social media, you could do that for 2 days. You could do that November the 1st and the 2nd. You know, you get on social media right before the election, all you're going to do is get mad. You're just going to get stirred up, right? Just shut it off if you can't fast from food. Well, I can't, you know, I got to have social media, whatever. Fast from your email, right? Fast from this or that. Don't do this, though. Don't fast from deodorant and don't fast from bathing, okay? Keep that thing going, amen? We live in Southeast Texas, and even though November we may have a heat wave and you get all sweatified and you need to what? You need to take your shower or a bath, amen? So don't do that. But when we think about this, because fasting is not elsewhere commanded by God, the inference is that fasting is nowhere required in the New Testament or this church age. Now, is fasting a beneficial practice? Is it advantageous for Christians, those who are led by the Holy Spirit, to do it? Oh, absolutely. It is a great thing to practice. It is a great thing to do. But fasting, unlike giving and praying, for which there are many commandments in the Old and the New Testament to keep on doing, when it comes to fasting, the only command that we see is the yearly fast on the Day of Atonement. And outside of that, fasting is nowhere require. Now, I want to share with you, because I said I was going to try to be brief. I said I was going to try to be shorter today. And I struggle when I do that, because sometimes when I say that, you know, you're leaving out here and you're going, that wasn't any shorter. That was the same amount of time. In fact, that was a little longer. So I really want to try to be cognizant of the time. Two things I want to share with you about this topic, Fasting 101, in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 16, 17, and 18, in Jesus' beautiful sermon. Two points. The first point is this. Two extreme views. There are two extreme views then, in New Testament times, two extreme views then and now, even today, when it comes to fasting. The Word of God reads in verse 16, it says, whenever you fast. Now, whenever you fast, that kind of supports the understanding that fasting is not commanded, right? Whenever you fast. But when fasting is practiced, it is to be regulated according to the principles that Jesus gives us here. It's kind of like when it comes to the Lord's Supper, it says as often as you do, right? So some denominations do it what? Every week. Some denominations do it what? Every year. Some denominations do it what? Every quarter. Some churches do it what? Three times a week. Some churches do it what? Four times a year. As often as you do, right? We know it's something we're going to be doing, right? But we don't really have a set time for it. Same thing with fasting. Not commanded, but it says whenever you fast. Supports the understanding that fasting is not commanded, but when fasting is practiced, it is to be what? Regulated according to the principles that Jesus gives us here. The Greek word for fast literally means not to eat. Literally means to abstain from food. However, there were some times that the fast was total. Sometimes the fast was partial. And when it was total, ordinarily all you would receive was water. You would drink water so you wouldn't get what? Dehydrated. Two extreme views, talking about two extreme views then and now, two extreme views of eating were held among the Jews of Jesus' day. Now, some of you are really going to like one of these views. Many, like the ones mentioned in this passage, made an obvious display of fasting. They made an obvious display. That was one group. That was one view. Others believe that because food is a gift from God, each person would have to give an account to him on the day of judgment for every good thing he had not eaten, right? I can see what some of you are thinking. You know, next time I'm at the table or next time I'm at the restaurant, well, I can't let that lie. I may have to give an account of why I didn't eat that. Pass that on over here. I think I'm going to go ahead and receive that, right, into my body, into my ministry. But that was the two views. The ones mentioned in this passage, those that made their fasting public, not only were more prevalent, they were the majority, but they were more self-righteous. And we know that's not a good thing. They were more self-righteous and proud. They were proud about it. Their fasting was not a matter of spiritual conviction, but a means of self-gratification. And so by the time that Jesus Christ comes upon the scene, fasting, like almost every other aspect of Jewish religious life, had been perverted and twisted beyond what was scriptural and what was sincere. Fasting had become a ritual to gain merit with God. Do we earn our salvation? It had become a ritual to gain merit with God. It had become a way to get attention from men. Like praying, like charitable giving, fasting was largely a hypocritical religious show. It had gone to the theatrics. I mean, it was nothing but a play act. Many Pharisees fasted not once a week, but twice a week, per Luke 18:12. Luke 18:12 kind of lines that out for you. Usually, they would fast on the second and the fifth days of the week. Second and five. Two and five, that's when they would fast. Second day, fifth day of the week. Now, why did they fast the second and the fifth day of the week, Pastor? Well, they claimed those days were chosen because they were the days that Moses made the two separate trips to receive the tablets of law from God on Mount Sinai. But those 2 days also, they're slick. These Pharisees are slick. Those 2 days also happened to be the major Jewish market days when cities and towns were crowded with farmers and merchants and shoppers and all kinds of visitors and guests. So the second and fifth days were therefore the 2 days where public fasting would have the largest audiences. They knew exactly what they were doing. Those wanting to call attention to their fasting would put on a gloomy face. Then they would neglect their appearance. In order to be seen fasting by men, they would wear old clothes, sometimes purposely torn and dirty. Their hair was disheveled. They would cover themselves with dirt and ashes and even use makeup in order to look pale and sickly. They were play actors that had turned to theatrics. Let me tell you something. When the heart is not right, praying is a sham and a mockery. When the heart is not right, giving, whether it be charitable or to the church, is a sham and a mockery. And friend, let me tell you, when the heart is not right, fasting is a sham and a mockery. A sham and a mockery. Those whom Jesus condemned for fasting in order to be seen by men were self-righteous. Everything they did centered around themselves. Everything. God had no place in their motives. God had no place in their thinking. And God had no part in their reward. Friend, they were doing nothing but spinning their wheels. They were doing nothing but going in circles. They were doing nothing but entertaining themselves and others. The reward they wanted was the recognition by men, and that is the reward, and only that reward, they received in full. So as we think about two extremes, when we think about the two extremes, the two extreme views then and now about fasting, throughout the history of the church, and even today in this part of the church age, coming up here to the rapture of the church and 7 years of tribulation and the second coming of Christ, you know, we've got to be close to the end times. We're at least closer to the end times than we were 50 years ago, right? 100 years ago, right? So throughout the history of the church and even the church age today, fasting has most often been viewed in two extremes, kind of the way it was in Judaism. Some denominations and church groups, they take fasting way too far, way further than it was intended. They make it a requirement of fellowship. They use fasting as a badge of spiritual pride. In these groups, if you're fasting, everybody knows you're fasting. You make that a public thing. It's almost like some kind of a badge of honor, right? It's weird and it's bizarre. That's one extreme. On the other hand, other groups of Christians are ill-informed or uninformed about this Holy Spirit-led act of self-denial. You say, Pastor, when should I fast? I'm going to give you some times when you should fast. But ultimately, friend, you should fast when the Holy Spirit leads you to fast. That's when you should fast. So you kind of get the inference there. If you have grieved the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, in other words, if you're walking around and living with a whole bunch of unconfessed sin, you need to get that taken care of before you can be led, right, by the Holy Spirit, right? If you know there's some steps of obedience that you need to do in your own Christian life, and you're not doing those things, right? You've quenched the Holy Spirit in your life. You've grieved Him with unconfessed sin. You know some things you need to be doing, and you're not doing those things. Sins of omission. And so you've quenched the Holy Spirit in your life. Friend, you need to be taking care of those things before you can begin to hear in your inner man, right? Hear in your inner man and hear through the Word of God, because that's what the Holy Spirit's going to use. You've got to get those things taken care of before you can even begin to step out on this great path, this great opportunity to fast, right? It's a Holy Spirit-led thing. Holy Spirit-led thing. So two extreme views, then and now. The second point, and I'll be done. 2 points, right? Second point, number 2, the appropriate nature of fasting today. The appropriate nature of fasting today. Let's look at it. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men. And when they are fasting, truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The appropriate nature of fasting today. Fasting is mentioned some 30 times in the New Testament. Almost always, it's mentioned favorably. It's a favorable thing. Of the favorable accounts, both in the Gospels and in the Epistles, proper fasting is a legitimate form of spiritual devotion. Now, again, we come back to this statement of Jesus in verse 16. Jesus' statement, when he says, when you fast, verse 16, it indicates that fasting is normal. It indicates that fasting is acceptable in the Christian life. Well, Pastor, I've been a Christian for how many ever years? I've never fasted. Well, what are you telling me? I'm telling you, make it a matter of prayer. Make it a matter of prayer. Go through your life and see, have I grieved the Holy Spirit? Am I quenching the Holy Spirit, right? It is a normal part of the Christian life. Well, preacher, do you fast? You never tell us if you fast. Do you fast? There have been times in my personal Bible study and in prayer life where, lunch is fasted. Dinner is fasted. Coffee, if you can believe it, coffee is fasted. I'm in the midst of the Word of God trying to prepare to bring a word of God to the people of God. And sometimes food and other things are just what? The food and other things. They're not the main dish right now. The main dish is focusing on who? It's focusing on God. The main dish is it's being in the Word of God. The main dish is wanting to do what? It's wanting to hear. It's wanting to hear what God would have me do. Right? So you got to think that through for yourselves. You got to think that through. I can't do that for you. I can only do that for me. The appropriate nature of fasting today. He assumes his followers, Jesus, he assumes his followers will fast on certain occasions. But he does not give, he doesn't give a command, or he doesn't specify a particular time, a particular place, and he doesn't specify a particular method. And so we got to ask the question, why? Right? Remember how we started talking about this, how there was only one command in the Scripture, the Day of Atonement, right? Why does he not give us a time, place, or method? Well, because of the validity of the Day of Atonement has ceased. Now, Jewish folks still celebrate what? The Day of Atonement. That's still a thing on the Jewish calendar. But there's no temple. There's no tabernacle. There's no Holy of Holies. There's no Ark of the Covenant. Why is there not? Because Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And so the validity of the Day of Atonement, you want to still, as a Jewish individual, Jewish folks, still want to celebrate and observe the Day of Atonement? That's between you and your God, right? But the validity of that has ceased when Jesus made the once-for-all sacrifice, shedding His blood on Calvary's cross to cover our sins, making propitiation for us, standing in our place, receiving the wrath and the judgment from God above that we deserve. Right? He truly did say, it was finished. It is finished. The single prescribed occasion for fasting, the Day of Atonement, has literally ceased to exist. Remember, during Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus' disciples did not fast when he was with them, because fasting is associated in one way, particularly with mourning, or other times of consuming spiritual need, or other times of great spiritual anxiety. those of you that have grandkids that are going to school, you have children that are going to school, do you have any anxiety about the COVID? Is it just me? Am I the only one with anxiety, or do you have some of it too? I mean, I don't think it's like a worry. It's just kind of like in the back of your mind, it's an itch that you just can't scratch, right? You know, Lily came home Wednesday. We had big time. Wednesday was a day, my soul. Thursday, she wakes up. Ear hurts, right? Ear hurts. Well, we immediately think, oh, my soul. She got the ear COVID. It's come in by the ear, right? So we immediately get the thermometer on her. Whoo, no fever, right? How's your stomach feel? Stomach's fine. How's your head feel? Head's fine. How's your body feel? Body's fine. What's wrong? Ear hurts. So take her to the doctor, right? Get the antibiotics. Go to Dr. Carr's office. Dr. Carr's out. See Dr. Rose. See Dr. Rose. Dr. Rose gives an antibiotic prescription, right? Yeah, got fluid behind the ear. Yep, probably infected. Yep, it doesn't look good. Get her home, right? Next day, ear hurts. Can't go. I'm thinking, man, I'm hoping this is not the ear COVID, right? Sure enough, Friday afternoon, antibiotics start to kick in. Ear starts to feel a skosh bit better. But we think about our kids and our grandkids. We think about teacher friends that we may know. We think about people in the education industry, right? And I mean, my soul. Maybe an opportunity for us, maybe an opportunity for us to have a day during the week, 2 days during the week, where we fast of something. We fast of something. And think about the grace of the good Lord above and pray for His wonderful, incredible protection over our friends and loved ones that we know are in harm's way. I mean, these COVID cases, they're popping left and right. Tomball High School. We get an email just about every day that somebody, at least one person, we don't know how many people, but at least one person has tested positive for COVID-19. Now they're starting to pop at the junior high. And now they're starting to go at the memorial down the road, the bigger high school in Tomball down the road off of 249 in North Point. Can somebody hit that AC? I think the fan's on, but I don't think the compressors are turning. I got people up here sweating and they're not preaching. So you know what I feel like. I'm going to have to take another shower when I get home. Right? Amen? All right. So, anxiety. You feeling it with me? Fasting is associated primarily with mourning or other times of consuming spiritual need or anxiety. When the disciples of John the Baptist, when they asked Jesus why His disciples did not fast like they did, and the Pharisees did, He replied in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. And basically what he was saying, hey, when I'm not around, when they put this body in the grave for 3 days, there's going to be some fasting because people are going to be mourning. Fasting there in Matthew 9, 14 through 15 is associated with mourning. See, fasting is appropriate today in the church age as a response to special times of testing and special times of trial and special times of struggle. And how do we know that, preacher? How do we know that? Because if we study the Word of God, we see the examples over and over again where fasting is conducted in the different scenarios that I'm going to give you right here, right now. See, fasting is appropriate, I've already mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it again, during times of sorrow and deep grief. Mourning. When Bathsheba and David's child became ill, what did David do? David fasted while he pleaded for the infant's life. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. David also fasted when Abner died. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 35. David even fasted on behalf of his enemies. Psalm chapter 35, verse 13. Psalm 35, 13. The Word of God reads, "But as for me, when they were sick," it's a reference to his enemies, "my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom. So let's see if you can relate. Let's see if you can relate to this. Most people do not feel like eating immediately after a spouse, a child, or a parent dies. I've never met anybody that wants to go tie on a big old steak down at Saltgrass after they've lost a loved one. Their appetite is gone, and food is the last thing that they are concerned about when we lose a parent, when we lose a spouse, when we lose a child. So a close friend, somebody really close to us. See, a Christian survivor who loses somebody forgoes food and forgoes eating and focuses on his or her relationship with God Almighty and Jesus Christ, again, in the power of the Holy Spirit, as they seek comfort and some kind of understanding in the midst of the loss. And I know what you're thinking now. The light bulb's starting to pop on, isn't it? Well, yeah, preacher. You know, I have fasted. I have fasted. Now that you mention it, I have fasted. Fasting is appropriate during times of grief and mourning. Secondly, fasting is appropriate during overwhelming danger. Overwhelming danger. King Jehoshaphat proclaimed in the Old Testament a national fast in Judah when they were threatened with attack from the Moabites and the Ammonites. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. From a human standpoint, Jehoshaphat and Judah, they could not possibly win against the Moabites and the Ammonites. And they cried out to God for help, forsaking food as they did so. Queen Esther, remember this, you got to remember this. Queen Esther, her servants and all the Jews in the capital city of Susa fasted for 3 full days before she went before the king to plead for the Jews to be spared from Haman's wicked scheme against the people. Esther 4, verse 16. So let's see if you can relate to this. You're experiencing a financial danger. You are experiencing a health danger. You are experiencing some anxiety because your family's overseas, or your family's out of the country, or your family is in the midst of a COVID pandemic in a city that's seeing a huge spike in cases. And so what do? You forego food in order to focus more on God. Or you forego your social media, or you forego something to have more of a focus on God, to have more of a focus on Jesus, to receive guidance from Him, to receive comfort from Him, to receive wisdom and or direction. Fasting is appropriate during times of confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. Some of you, the light will come on again here, and you'll go, yeah. Yeah, I have fasted. I have fasted, preacher. When the people of Nineveh heard Jonah's preaching, they were so convicted that they believed in God and they called a great fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. By the decree of the king, they would not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste anything. That's Jonah chapter 3, verses 5. And verse 7, rather than resent the warning of judgment and damnation that Jonah brought, they repentantly turned to God and sought His forgiveness and mercy and fasted. You've ever been there before? I mean, you committed a sin, you practiced a sin, you came under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and you forewent food. And you just went to God. A day, half a day, a night, I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? You got back where you needed to be. Fasting was sometimes associated with the receiving or proclaiming of a special revelation from God. Again, in the Old Testament, as Daniel contemplated Jeremiah's prediction of the 70 years of desolation of Jerusalem, he gave his attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. As he continued speaking in prayer, he reports then, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering, and he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding." Daniel 9, verses 21 and 22. A short time later, still in the book of Daniel, still surrounding Daniel, just before receiving another vision, Daniel made a partial fast by forsaking any tasty food, meat or wine. For how many weeks? For 3 weeks. Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. So see, you may not be able to totally fast off of food, but there may be something you really like. You say, "God, I'm giving that up for the next week, 2 weeks, for the next month." And when I feel that desire to have that thing that I'm giving up, I'm going to focus on you for a while. I'm going to seek your direction. I'm going to seek your wisdom. Now, when we talk about Daniel, we talk about Revelation, and we talk about visions and all that, let me just say, we're in the church age, right? We're in the New Testament. Everybody got it? Amen? There is no new revelation, all right? So don't think to yourself, I'm going to start me a week-long fast, and I'm going to get to write the next book of the Bible. Don't do that, right? Because you have it all. You have all of God's revelation that humanity is supposed to have in that beautiful book that you have laying on your lap, or that you have open, or that you have on your cell phone. Looking at this passage this morning, you have everything that you're supposed to have. It's called the Bible, right? But you may be needing to know this. You may be needing to know the will of God for your life. You may be needing to know the direction in your work life. Some direction about a relationship. You're wanting to know God's perfect will. We call this getting a word from God, but that's not to be confused with Holy Spirit-inspired revelation. All of that's taken care of. The beauty of this appropriate spiritual discipline is that fasting, are you ready for this? This is what fasting is. Fasting frees up some more finite time. It gives you some more finite time so that we can focus and comprehend what the Lord may be wanting to tell us through our inner man, through the Word of God, by His Holy Spirit. See, the fast is not producing God's will in our lives. Rather, the fast is giving us more time so that we can rest in the Lord and listen. Rest in the Lord and listen. We just had a family that moved on from here, moved out of the area. They're living on the lake in Alaska. What is that lake? They're living on Lake Livingston, right? And their whole impetus, their whole desire was to get away. Now, they were living in, what, Magnolia? Talking about the DeBose family. Were they living in Magnolia? Is that right? Just behind Magnolia West High School, right? Had about an acre, had some horses. Now, for me, that's pretty laid back. Amen? But they said, we going laid back from that. We going to the lake laid back. Amen? Right? There's a desire to want to slow down and listen, right? Now, sometimes people just want to slow down for leisure, right? Sometimes people just want to slow down because they've been running for 10 or 15 or 20 years, and they're ready to just, right? We're talking about slowing down and listening to Almighty God. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Right? So the fast is not producing God's will in our lives. Rather, the fast is giving us more what? More what? Time. Giving us more time, right? So that we can then rest in the Lord and listen. So that we can get in His Word and dig the truth out. Finally, fasting often accompanied the beginning of an important task of ministry. Jesus fasted 40 days and nights before he was tempted in the wilderness and then began his preaching ministry. Can you believe that? That's incredible to me, right? Both before and after the Holy Spirit directed the church in Antioch to set apart Barnabas and Saul, which is actually Barnabas and Paul, for special ministry, the people were praying and fasting per Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. As Barnabas and Saul, again, or Paul, ministered God's word, they did what? They prayed and fasted as they appointed elders in the churches they founded per Acts 14, 23. What are you saying? Well, let me get a drink of water and I'll say it. Oh, it feels so much better in here. Thank you. Ever so often, it's happened twice in 1 week now. No, it's because this is the first day of the next week, right? Sunday? Day Sunday, right? Preacher, it ain't Saturday, or Sunday. So it's happened 2 weeks in a row. Ever so often, the sad information will come across my desk of this particular church down the road or another church in another state or that ministry or this pastor who individuals that have made a wrong, that have made a bad, that have made a mistaken decision, and the aftermath is usually ministers and ministries, pastors and churches that are severely hampered or completely destroyed. I was telling my son before church started this morning, there is no guarantee for the local church. There's a guarantee for the church universal. The gates of Hades will not prevail against her. But for the local church, not a whole lot of guarantees. Congregations do what? Come and go. Come and go. The news is always a reminder about this gates of hell, about the church universal. But local bodies like ours, we have no guarantees for perpetual ministry success until Jesus raptures his church. Before Jesus raptures his church. With that said, there is somewhat of an insurance policy. You ready for the insurance? Can we afford the premiums? I think we can. The insurance policy is this, that we might not make the decisions that cost the farm. Well, how do we get that insurance? Well, it is by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Because, friend, it's one thing to pray. It's one thing to pray. Praise God. If you're a praying Christian, praise the Lord for you. If you're rattling the bars of heaven, thank you for that. It's a concert. It's a ministry. Amen. It's one thing to pray, but it is entirely another. Entirely another to pray and fast. Try the praying with the fasting. Attempt the fasting before you pray. Make sense? As you forego something, perhaps you cannot forego food again because of your health, but you can forego the TV. You can forego your technology. You can forego some other consuming daily activity. Remember, friend, if you will do your part, what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, perhaps a fast of some sort, then God will do His part. Every time God does His part. Verse 18, the Word of God says, right? And your Father who sees what is done in secret will do what? Will reward you. I mean, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that glorious? The Christian life does not get any more straightforward than that. I mean, that's about as basic and straightforward as you can get. The reward is the Word. It's that Word you're looking for. The reward is the direction. The reward is the blessing, right? We all need blessings, do you not? We all need blessings, right? The reward is perhaps the restored relationship. The reward is perhaps the new job. The reward is the freedom from that besetting sin. The reward is that protection over your loved ones from COVID-19. The rewards are out there. for the asking, for the taking, for the fasting, and for the praying. Will you seek Him? Will you do what is in this Word? Not to earn your salvation, but because you are saved. God will bless you immensely. Amen, church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for Your congregation, Lord, and we thank You for this local body of believers. Lord, we're thankful for the prayer warriors that You have assembled here, and Lord, we pray that we would all grow. We would all grow in the area of prayer and fasting. And Lord, as we tried to unpack some truths and some things about it this morning, Lord, I pray that folks were encouraged by the fact that they've probably fasted at times that they didn't even know they were fasting. And now they know what they were doing, and they know that they can do it again. They know that they can do it again. And so, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct in this area of each person's own personal spiritual journey. Lord, there may be needing some house cleaning to take place, some sin issues to be dealt with. There may be needing some grieving and quenching of the Holy Spirit to be confessed and repented from. But Lord, as those things are dealt with, as those things are taken care of, I pray that they would then begin to go forward with You in this beautiful spiritual discipline of fasting. Lord, be with those that are on the fence about it. I pray, Lord, that You'd give them the shove they need to come on down the road with growing in this grace. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You for loving us so much. Thank You for giving us an opportunity to bring praises to You today. And Lord, we seek that we would just live for You in the coming week. But Lord, we would be lovers of people, and we would be intercessors. And Lord, we would give supplication for folks. And Lord, we would just be about getting out the gospel seed in the areas of the community and the places of work. And Lord, we would sow that gospel seed. The world so desperately needs to hear it. We do continue to pray for a vaccine, Lord, and we continue to pray for our first responders and our physicians and nurses and all of our medical professionals. Lord, protect them, help them, encourage them. Thank You for so many people, Lord, that are in the service industry, that serve us in ways that we don't even know. Lord, I pray You'd protect them as well. Help them. And Lord, we pray that You would bring this old country, You would bring this nation. Lord, You would bring it through this time of division. And Lord, there might be in 30 days from now, there might be in 6 months from now, there might be in another year from now, a time of revival that the nation has not experienced in almost 100 years. Lord, I pray that You would heal our land and You would touch this nation. Thank You for our president. Thank You for his cabinet, Lord. Thank You for our military. And Lord, we just pray for their protection. We pray for our first family's healing. And Lord, we pray You see our president through. Thank You for all You do, Lord. We thank You for this Supreme Court nominee. And Lord, I pray her confirmation would be solidified and complete before the election. And Lord, if it so pleases You in Your sovereignty to give this country a conservative bench for the first time in probably 70 years, oh, we so receive it and we thank You for it. And Lord, if that brings about the reversal of Roe v. Wade, then we praise You for that as well. Lord, we know You're sovereign. We know You're in control. We praise You today for all You do for us, for the many blessings. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. If you have your tithe or offering as you are dismissed out of the sanctuary row by row, there are some offering plates in the back. And if you're visiting with us and you filled out the visitor's card, we would love to get a record of your visit. And we're thankful that you're here today. All right, amen. You folks dismissed. Have a blessed afternoon. We'll see you back here Wednesday.